and ask, Zeke, have I hung up on you? I hope I didn't.
That was some story. I was on the edge of my seat.
Yeah, the guy is amazing, Flynn Washburn.
Actually, I just heard what you just read now. I can't.
You
can't
you missed the whole beginning.
I was just being funny.
You missed the story of Collateral Girl.
Yeah, so tell me everything I've missed up until when I called.
No. So you've got a story to read. You've got the second part of maybe three parts, or the second half of the...
It's three parts, but the second, third part are real short each, so...
You know what? I don't even care. You just start and go on until you get to the end and then stop, and I'll be sitting here listening to every morsel.
With a cup of Tetley tea by your side, I hope.
Tetley tea. Tetley tea!
Okay, ready?
Yep.
All right, this is from that chapter called Cheers, Motherfucker, Part 2. That's my seat. Just how funny is this guy I call my guardian dragon? Well, I just gave a good example of his mischievous wit in the tale above, where he faked being upset at this love-struck dummy. Now, here's another example that I can only describe as classic Larkin. It's a blustery, sunshiny day in March of 2007 when I step into Hole in the Wall after my power walk along Frisco's South Beach Promenade. As I enter and my eyes slowly adapt to the gloomy interior, I can't help but notice a man barely 3 feet tall without legs or arms perched on the bar's end stool. Thalidomide baby, I figure. He is decked out like a leather daddy, motorcycle cap, chaps and all. His drink is clasped securely in a metallic claw that extends from a short steel armature. What a courageous soul, I note. Self-confidence like nobody's business, I further muse. Were I in that compromised shell of a body, doubtful I'd have the guts to parade in leather and be just one of the boys. Mazel tov to you, brave fellow. Mazel tov. Still early afternoon. Patrons are sparse, and bartender Gary dotes on his large, ridiculously friendly black lab stretched out on the oakwood floor, long pink tongue draped over a jowl, paws up in a desperate plea for belly rubs. Gary interrupts playtime in order to serve me my usual cup of java and a glass of tap. Friendly banter ensues between us for several minutes before he returns to his beloved pup and myself to a bench along the wall in a dark corner. AC/DC's Highway to Hell is booming from the overamped speakers as I sip the robust mud and drift into heavy metal coma. Appropriate to the song's theme, backdrop to the tiny drama about to play out, Larkin's tall, gaunt figure bursts through the black leather curtains like a giant offended and seeking his prey. Dragonly smoke fumes out his expanded nostrils from a Marlboro just tossed into the gutter. He glares at the limbless leather dwarf and declares, "That's my seat." In a flash, he rushes up to the hapless target, who remains in calm poise, imbibing his rum and coke, and peremptorily lifts Thalidomide Daddy from his present seat and sets him on the one right beside. The victim of Larkin's outrageous antic retains his calm, as if nothing untoward has just happened, and continues to sip his drink. OMFG, that's hilarious, I think, and almost tumble off the bench, poop my pants, and spurt coffee from my nose, all at the same time. If laughter truly is the best medicine, then Larkin is the mother of all physicians. Part 3, Black Magic Billiards. Okay, this passage has little to do with Larkin, but I figure inserting it here is more appropriate than placing it anywhere else. One evening early in 2007, I play a round of pool at the Hole with a regular named Jared. I'm not a very good or experienced pool player, though Larkin had given me some tips on how to improve my skills in that department. Upon my third round, the cue ball is situated in such a position that all my balls are impossible to make a pocket. All my opponent's balls block such an outcome. Jared, by the way, is a rather handsome lad of about 35, with a blonde crew cut and full pouting lips, not to mention light gray eyes, a robust chest, and thighs and calves to die for. Now, I could choose to just cap the cue ball with a light touch, hopefully to position it so that Jared won't be able to gain a pocket in his next round. Instead, seeing as any winning shot from my side is not even remotely feasible, I decide to declare a ludicrously hopeless shot that even the most professional pool player could not achieve. I'm stripes, by the way. So I declare to Jared, I'm going to strike the 9 ball where it will carom off the far bank, then smack the 11 ball, which will ricochet off the right bank, and hit the 14 ball, which will then strike the near end bank, bounce off the left bank, and drop into the far right corner pocket. I indicate with my cue stick the exact trajectory. Realizing just how absurd is my declaration, Jared decides to take a whiz in the urinal while I make my unlikely shot. Expecting a failed result, I then line up the stick and smack the cue ball. Lo and behold, here is how it all came down. The 9 ball caroms off the far bank, strikes the 11 ball with an impressive sock, which ball bounces off the right bank and knocks the 14, which ball hits the near end bank, zings off the left bank, then waddles into the far right corner pocket. In other words, my totally impossible maneuver succeeded. Though, to my chagrin, Jared never witnessed it. A moment later, he returns to the table with bladder cleared, figuring I forfeited, and prepares to make his next shot. I abruptly extend a hand to halt his move and declare, "Whoa, buddy, I made the shot. I go again. If you're in doubt, just ask Devin." As it turns out, Devin, seated at the close end of the bar, was the only one to witness my astounding feat. He is a good-looking 52 with dark brown eyes framed in square glasses, a trim David Niven mustache, and dense shocks of wavy black hair. "Wow, you're a really good pool player," declares Devin as he takes another gulp from a bottle of Anchor Steam. I then lay my cue stick on the table and approach him. "So you saw that shot, did you?" "Sure did," he replies. "Did you sell your soul to the devil or what?" "Ha ha," I retort. "I'm certainly not a good pool player. I guess the angels are on my side, or devils, as you say." Then I commence a second shot, also equally impossible due to the layout of my opponent's balls, though differently arranged. And once more, I make a ridiculous claim. "Okay, now I'm going to hit the 11 ball, strike it against the right bank, where it will spin off the 15 ball, which ball will carom off the far end bank, strike the near end bank, then whack the 12 ball, which will hit the left bank and drop into the near right corner pocket. Again, I never dreamed of pulling this off, but think, what have I got to lose? So here's what happens next. I make a powerful lunge of the cue stick, which causes my right wrist to be flayed against a jagged piece of metal protruding from the pool table's frame, and I start to bleed profusely. Yet the balls I indicated with the cue stick all respond once more, exactly as I declared. Infuriatingly, Jared had again turned away, this time to order a second drink, so once more he does not witness my miraculous bank shot. Yet I noticed Devin's surprise at my continued good fortune, so I walk up to him, raise my bloody wrist to his face, and declares, "There's your blood price," and guffaw profusely. He raises his shoulders and chortles. Barkeep Gary provides me with a half shot of vodka and a Band-Aid that I may cleanse my wound in the urinal. He confides, "We need to hammer down that loose metal strip. You're not the first to be cut up by a cockeyed cue shot." I don't think Jared believes I succeeded in either shot, but that's just how things go sometimes. When you achieve a great goal, often there's no one around to witness. But if you're lucky, there's at least one. Though sometimes your sole witness doesn't even remember, especially if several years pass before you ask him to vouch for the miracle. Thank you, Larkin, for these pool tips. And that is the end.
Back. I'm here. I had my headphones off and I had to throw them in the air and have them flip twice and then fall to rest perfectly in the position where I had to take them off again.
So you didn't hear my story?
I did. I'm right here listening. The speaker's on
and
everything.
Oh, I thought maybe you were puttering or something. I didn't know whether you were or not.
No, not puttering. Hardly puttering nor pottering at this juncture.
Yeah.
How's your week been, Ezekiel?
Pardon?
How's your week been?
Well, it's been very intense, but so has, you know, the whole year of my whole life. It's very, I hardly, ever since I popped out of the womb, it's been like that. So, you know, I'd say 99.99% of the time I'm miserable. But I always say I'm doing okay. I don't know when it's going to end.
Why are you particularly miserable this week?
Well, the Trump thing, of course, is a whole new layer of horror, you know, over everything else. And I don't see why everyone doesn't feel like I do. I mean,
everybody does. So that's the thing.
Yes, of course, but still, there's no outreach. There's no heart in people around here. If there were, the homeless people would have homes, or at least they'd be talking to them and being nice to them and reaching out. Very important thing to do.
I forgot about the homeless people. It's easy for me to forget about them.
Oh, well, you can around here. They're in your face all the time.
There are more here than ever before. The fires apparently shooed everybody out to the coast.
Well, I don't see that happening, that increase happening here, but there's going to be a huge explosion of homeless people this year. Obviously, I might be one of them. I hope not, but of course, I'm worried about Zach and some of my other friends out there on the streets because they're going to have a lot more competition to survive.
Does he still
more
have his dog?
More competing for cans and bottles. And,
Zach still
and,
have
and
his
selling
dog?
Selling the crack
I'm
and,
sorry.
The, and the speed and the horse and stuff like that, you know?
The speed and the what?
Horse. Heroin.
Oh, right. Pure horse, book him.
They don't even call it horse either. I'm old-fashioned. That's just from what I've read
Well,
in
it's
past.
Yeah, you're an old-fashioned guy.
Yeah, well, Zach's birthday is the 22nd. He loves Christmas. He loves birthday. He makes sure I don't forget. It's like, I'd really rather not bother.
Does he still have his...
I love you, and I give you gifts all the time. Okay. You know, mostly money, because anything I give him for a gift, that's he's going to lose or get stolen in 2 or 3 days.
Does he still have his dog? Huh? I'm sorry. I keep trying to ask you, and I get stuck asking like a broken record. Does he still have his dog?
No.
They took
Remember,
it away.
I told you he gave him how to give him up.
Yeah, well, that was a good thing. Having a dog like that would be nice to have. If you have to lie on the sidewalk, you can curl around it and have a little warmth.
Yes, but it can really really tie you down and be quite a responsibility and really stress you out too. Especially if you're a loner like Zach, you don't have a crew of friends, you know, to help share with the dog and stuff. I'd rather not get into that. I gave him his birthday gift today. I decided, well, you know, he's turned into an Android addict because over the years he loves rap music, but the type he listens to is really good. It's from New Orleans and other kinds of really good rappers, and I'm learning about them too, Little Lil Boosie. Anthony Hamilton. So what I do is I try to find at Kick-Ass Torrents the discography, or at least one album by the artist. This is Alexander Hamilton. I discovered him today. I got his complete discography. That's about 8 albums. And then there's sorry about the noise. That's going to go on for 5 minutes or so. They're not supposed to be doing that now. They're pumping out the grease or the... I don't know, water, whatever, from the restaurant
from
below.
From the restaurant downstairs and to the left.
Yeah, they're not supposed to do any of this stuff late at night. But
yeah,
the police don't come out.
It isn't a big deal, I guess, unless it's keeping you
me.
Awake. It keeps you awake?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Drake is another rap singer.
Drake, I know who that is. I don't know the other names that you said. I don't know what those are, but I know who Drake is.
Yeah, Juvenile, the group. Lil Boosie, of course, Master P.
Master P?
Yeah, okay. Master P, the letter P.
Yeah.
Rick Ross, The Carter.
These are all boys.
Tyga.
Are there any girls in there? Are they all men? Or are they?
I just when I was about to say it, you asked me. Just about when I was going to give you a girl, you asked me.
Okay, right.
So I'll have to say it again, Tyga.
Tyga is a woman rapper.
Yes. Very good. UGK, Young Money, And then Sync Toy. Oh no, Sync Toy is a file on my on that.
So you like that's the kind of music you like now. What kind of music did you like before?
Well, I've never liked the kind of music. I like a bit of all kinds. I just think it's a ridiculous question to ask anyone. I've never been, you know, very big into music or bothered with the names of bands and stuff, but I've never been interested in automobiles either. So if the police asked me, did you see which car, you know, hit the other car, well, it was black, it was white, but I wouldn't know what model, whatever. So I don't see how anyone could have, well, you know, some kinds of jazz I like, some I can go on with all the different genres.
Yeah, I'm
like
pretty much the same way about that.
Some from each.
The same
but,
way.
So... He would get a CD. He'd get CDs and play them CD thing or whatever. Or he'd have a radio, find a radio, and he'd listen to the station with soul and rock, soul and hip hop and stuff. So one day, you know, every so often, he'd bring around his cell phone. And say, oh, I found some music on this that I like. Listen to it. And then it occurred to me, why not? If he finds cell phones frequently, why don't I put MP3 music on it? So that's how it started. I said, next time you bring me a cell phone, I'll see if I can work it and hook it up to my computer. If I can, I'll search through torrents, and you tell me the rap stars and groups you like.
Well, that's a very generous thing to do. Good.
Yeah. So, I've been doing it for almost a year now, and only a few days ago I saw this this article called 70 things you can do with your old Android phone.
Use it for an MP3 player.
Turn it into an MP3 player.
You know, a lot of the phones have an FM chip in them that they don't tell you about.
Yeah, I know. Some do and some don't. Some have an FM app, but you have to be connected to the internet to play it. You know, it's on the web.
No, but they actually put. Well, you know about it. The FM
yeah,
chip
of course
that they
I
put.
Do.
It can be a pocket radio, and you're not using up your minutes or your data, and you're just using the phone for a radio and not wasting a lot of electricity.
Anyway,
the app shuts off.
Well, if you use it on the Wi-Fi, you don't need to worry about having a service.
Yeah, but it's
all.
Really nice to have a radio in your pocket that you can just turn on and listen to the frickin' radio.
Yeah, you'd think so, but my favorite stations, if I walk anywhere in the city, it fades away for two blocks and goes in, so I got tired of it.
Oh, right, because of the picket fencing from the buildings.
AM radio was dead ever since KGO, the old KGO talk show. That was the last local talk show in the country to go down. You know, Cumulus bought them out, one of the big ones, you know. Did you know about KGO, the old talk show?
Yeah, I know that KGO went under at the pretty much the same time that some schmuck from the L.A. area came up here and bought KMFB and killed it.
Yeah, and it happened all of a sudden. They were fired without warning. And the thing is, I just loved listening to them. I would lose sleep many nights listening to Ray Califaro. What I really liked was some of the radio callers. Some of them became celebrities in their own right. And I just loved listening to them. I loved listening to what people in the area thought, you know. And all of a sudden, boom, it's gone. And I'm still hurting from that. It's horrible. It's nothing like that, you know?
Nothing like KGO.
What?
Nothing like KGO.
Right, the old KGO, yeah. Well, there used to be a lot of good talk shows, but they weren't making enough money because they were, you know, they're basing everything on profit, and this is a wonderful
I'll bet there's somebody nearby you who has a low-power FM license ready to put a radio station up if one doesn't exist. And you could probably go in there and do a radio show on a real radio station.
Yeah, well, I know about it. Well, yeah, I doubt it.
Oh, well, you could.
You know, the people around here aren't very
if you
creative.
Wanted to, you could do a show on KNYO. I mean, there you can do it by remote. When I'm down at Juanita's house in the Santa Rosa area, I do my show from there, from her apartment. You know, there's a typing table next to the bed. I just set up my show and I do it from there. It's just like doing it.
Well,
from
I'll
here.
Think about it. It's because, well, you know, I don't have, you know, decent. You need a certain.
Oh,
to put
right!
A
I keep forgetting. You've
money.
Got you. You need to have reliable internet access, and your
right,
Wi-Fi
right.
keeps going out.
That, yeah, and you need a good microphone. You need something just like
you don't really need a very good microphone. I've got just a bitchin' microphone that I use at one.
Well, anyway, it would cost at least a few hundred dollars
to get set up. You've already got the computer. Uh-huh. And you've got almost everything you need.
I don't have, so couple that's a lot of the questions.
Couple hundred dollars.
I found out, to be a YouTuber, I found out you really need to invest in a good camcorder, for one, which I can't afford.
Camcorder?
And I know there's other people. YouTube was great for upper-middle-class kids, spoiled kids.
I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about plugging a microphone. $25 USB microphone plugged directly into your computer. And as long as you have decent internet access, you could do a radio show from your place on KNYO.
Well, I'll think about it. But the thing is, I don't want to do it all by myself, and I can't have people up here in this room.
Oh, right. Okay. Well, there's that too.
Yes. If I did radio show, I would want to have it spiced up with guests, you know, interesting people and so forth. But I can't do it in this little dump.
You could pretend to be the guests and talk in a different voice. Like, you'd have a high-pitched voice for one of the people and a very low-pitched voice for then. You could be the boss who talks like this.
It sounds very exhausting. So anyway, let's get back to Zach and the Android thing.
Okay.
So he started bringing me little speakers and little all USB powered and Bluetooth and a USB powered headset. He's bringing on me armfuls of stuff. I said, wait, slow down. This is wiping me out, stressing me out.
Where does he get them?
I don't ask, but it's obviously on the streets. Oh. You know, they trade and swap and do all kinds of stuff.
Oh, well, that's nice.
Yeah. You know, they got to do something with the time. Either that or start mugging people.
Any of the headphones that he gave you, are they noise-canceling headphones? Because that would solve the problem with your...
I don't know. I don't look into them that closely. They're just headphones he finds and gets on the street. So I've been charging them up. But he doesn't understand. You know, he brings me any cell phone and thinks I can get it to work. I tell him, no, it doesn't have a SIM chip and I can't, there's no way to crack it. I went on the web. Or if he'll bring me something that it looks like I can figure it out, but I don't have internet access here. You got to come back tomorrow evening. You know, I get on the web from a coffee house and learn about this model and how to activate it or whatever. No, I want it now. If you can't do it for me right now, you know, he thinks I can, and then he gave me an iPod once. And I said, oh, my God, an iPod. And I said, look, I got to figure out, I got to get on the web tomorrow and learn about it and how to crack the iPod so we can use it without paying for service and on a PC, IBM PC. Oh, no, give it back to me. And I said, okay, I just gave it back to him. He didn't give me a chance. Well, about 8 months later, he finds another iPod. I said, let me figure it out. Give me a day. The day goes by, and I figure out some things. I had to install the special Apple stuff here and there. And then I had to come home, and I realized I need to get back on the web the next day once I get more set up so I can actually get it running. In other words, it was a big labor to get to crack it and to make it run on my system. And it was a two-day process. But he comes over, you know, the next day, expecting it back. You haven't gotten it done. Well, I want it back. This time I said, no, because I'm pretty sure I can get it to work.
Yeah, put your foot down.
I'm going to need another day, and I'm not going to give it to you.
That's right.
Right. But I created a monster. When I turned them on to Android phones using it as an MP3, it's something, boom, I didn't realize what I had created, right? So another day goes by, and I'm really proud of myself. I get the iPod running like a charm. And he has, you know, and I got him tons and tons of his favorite music on it. But it's gone in 2 days. Someone stole it. See, he just crashes out on the sidewalk, you know, when he's ready to sleep. He just crashed out, and you couldn't wake him up for nothing, right? But the thing is, a lot of his possessions, including the iPod or cell phone, he leaves lying right on the sidewalk right next to a person on a rather busy sidewalk, even at night, where anyone can pick it up. That's what happens. Although some of them will rummage through if he has a shopping cart, or even go through his clothes because he's so sound asleep. And eventually, other people who are kind of regulars in the neighborhood, they know his habits and they know he doesn't wake up. And he said, I just get back up my feet and just go ahead and make some angry because I'm always got new stuff again and so forth. He's sort of like a gift giver in a way. You know, it's like it doesn't bother him that people take. It bothers me because I don't want to spend every day setting up another cell phone. I got other things to do too.
Hmm.
You know, so he was really, really, he's really miserable when he doesn't have his music. But by the other token, someone living on the streets and having such a tough life for so many years and still maintaining a positive attitude, it amazes me that just music cheers him up in every way. I mean, he's so happy when he has his music, and that's amazing. So, he got me, he wrote two cell phones, but the connection one was too loose to do anything with. The other one, only like, I can only put 10 songs in it or whatever, but, you know, he'll get frustrated or whatever. So, he had one of the larger Android phones, and I offered him $20 because I want to have my own mini Android tablet, perfect for carrying in the pocket. I don't want to use the phone service, you know. So I've downloaded books from Gutenberg and torrent files and all that stuff, reading Flannery O'Connor. It's really, really great. And then I also have audio books that I listen to, such as I got Sinclair Lewis's It Can't Happen Here, just a delight, you know. And it also, doing a pinch, if my computer's down or I want to travel really light, I can get on the web with it and do basic stuff anyway, and I just love it. Well, Zach was without a cell phone for about 4 days. The other one was stolen. I said, gee, I wish I had that phone back. And I said, no, you can't have it back. I paid you $20, and I use it for things that I like. He said, oh, okay. So I go upstairs. I go, I can't. I have to give it back to him. I just like him a lot. So I come back down. I said, I changed my mind. Give me 10 minutes to put music on that you like. I'll give it back to you. But then I really liked having one. I spoke with Hollywood because he sometimes gets cell phones and resells them for cheap. He had a small one for $10. It was a great deal, but the thing is, I don't want that smaller screen, you know, when I read my books. And he said, oh, I know someone with a really, really good model. I'll talk to him about it. I think he wants to sell it. I think he has a few really good ones. And it says large screen. I said, oh, yeah, it's got 8 gigabytes of memory. I said, well, that's way more than I would ever need, because when I've done reading a book, I delete it, you know, or listening to an audio book, I delete it. I need more than one book a day anyway on my Android phone. And it's a real pleasure. And so this cell phone is wonderful. It works beautifully. And I even got one of those covers with that titanium line, so it really protects it well.
Titanium? Wow, that is space shot metal. That's amazing.
Yeah, and it's really, really great. Now, he said, how much is your friend with? $20? I said, well, I'll go look. So I came by the next morning. They were camped out along a side street, Noe Street. And he called me. He said, here, you know, and he followed me. He walked with me around the corner. I didn't have money on me. He said, I have a phone. I think, you know, you'd like it, whatever. And I said, well, okay. I said, I'll tell you what. If I like it, I'll give you $30, you know, $10 for for goodwill. And so I come back, look at it. It is really, really nice. He reset it, and it's more than I ever wanted. And I just really, really like that. But there's no way I'm going to give that to Zach. So Zach's not going to know about it. Out of sight, out of mind, right? Then I thought about, well, and the rains and... Zach it's harder to find things when it's rainy. You know, the black market slows down in the rainy weather, the black street market. So I thought about it. Maybe Hollywood can sell me another small cell phone for $10, because all Zach wants is use it for MP3, and MP3s are small size files, and a ton of them you can fit on just 1 gigabyte, so it doesn't need to be a fancy phone or anything. So I thought about it. I thought, that'll be his birthday gift, that and a couple of other items. And so I see Hollywood. I said, when I give this to you, a little scratchy, but nice. It works great. You know, I reset it. I put a ton of music on it. But so I got home. I checked. I figured out how to activate the USB connection. And then I said, I just hope Zach doesn't show up too soon. I want this done. I want to surprise him. And I give him an early birthday gift with this, you know. And what happens right when I sit down thinking that, he whistles up the window, that's him. So I step out, and he has that old cell phone that's crappy. Half the time it doesn't connect. And sometimes he gets angry at me. Oh, you just have an old computer. This thing charges, so you must be able to copy music to it. He doesn't understand. Not necessarily. If the connection is bad inside somewhere on the chip or some other little super thin wire that goes to the drive instead of the battery, even though the power from the same cord, it won't work. And that's what his was. The connection was flaky. I tried to connect it, and it would the computer would recognize the USB and go blip.
Okay, I'm realizing that I'm sort of glazing over at this point. I'm sorry. I don't mean to cut you off in the middle of a story. Were you in the middle of a story at that point?
I was almost done.
Okay, go ahead. Finish your story then.
So here I'm stressed out because I want to surprise him, but I don't want to tell him. I have one up here that might work, because if it doesn't work, he'll be all upset. So I didn't want to let him know. I wasn't sure if I could do this. And he showed up, which cut me off from doing that, and he wanted me to fiddle with this other one, which was really crappy. And I think, well, it's not going to work. We all think positive it might. I just don't think you have good, your computer's too old. I said, stop doing that. I know what I'm doing. You know nothing about the technology. You're acting like you know more about computers than I do. I'm willing to try again. I was going to. And I go and try, and sure enough, it works. But it's a very small amount of music I put on it. And then, I also recharged a little speaker for him. And so after about 45 minutes, he wants it back. I go back downstairs. We had talked a little while out there. And I bring it down. And he's just sitting there playing, listening to the music. He didn't want to sit for another hour to charge it, so he's not going to get more than an hour to charge it. But he's all right with that. And so I go back upstairs. And I figure, if he's sitting there a while, let me just try to get the music on this, and it does. And it took me about 10 minutes to get it all going, and he was down there. So I come downstairs with some other little gifts for him, including a box of candy. I said, I may as well celebrate your birthday now. Oh, he said, okay, since you're still here. So I handed him a box of chocolates and a $20 bill and a birthday card. And he said, oh, wow, thank you. And I said, oh, one more thing. And what's that? I pulled the cell phone out of the pocket. And I said, here, I got it from Hollywood for $10, but I didn't know if I could get it to work, so I didn't want to tell you before it was. And you showed up, so I was stressed out trying to get that to him, but you detracted me from that, a whole nother hour or so, BS. So I didn't know if I could give it to you this soon. So he's really, really tickled me. And he's just, I created an android monster out of him.
The android monster.
Yeah.
Okay, well, that's...
How Android bonded two friends.
Well, that's good. That doesn't sound like a misspent week. That sounds like a week well spent, then.
Well, this just happened today. Well, no, the week was very, very intense and very hard. I mean, living like you never know when you're going to lose your rumors is going to happen because you have no backup nowhere.
Why are you worried about being? I thought you were rent controlled, and aren't you on some sort of disability? I mean, do you have to worry that they'll kick you out of your apartment?
No, but don't you understand that a house could be bought anytime? Airbnb could drive you out.
I didn't know that. I thought
all this stuff could happen. When you're poor, you live with this weight on your shoulders constantly.
Yeah, but I thought there was some kind of controlled that situation where they couldn't just kick the people in your building out. I didn't know that you were right on the edge of being homeless. I never knew that.
I have been on the edge of being homeless for over 3 decades.
How long have you been living in the place where you're living now?
Since 1983.
Oh.
Living on disability with no family or friends or any financial backup, anything, or anywhere else to go, is a constant stress on one's spirit.
Okay, well, I'm always looking forward to the next thing that you write, and be at Juanita's next week. Send me the story that you want me to read.
What it takes to think and write too. You got to experience this
crap. Good, and I'm looking forward to what you send for me to read on the show next week. And the week after that, I'll be right back here in Fort Bragg. And you can call again and read whatever story that you've written by that point. And I'm looking forward to whatever it is, because I always like to hear from you.
Oh, you're just sweet talking me.
Yeah, because it's because it gets me something, you see. It's not because I'm a good guy.
Okay, all right. Continue. Onward, soldier.
Onward and upward. See you later, bye. Ezekiel J. Kralin.
All right, bye.
Bye-bye.